Well, let's ask God to reveal some more amazing things to us as we come before him now. Let's pray. Lord, we do just ask and pray that as we open this portion of your word this morning, that you would speak to us. Lord, help us to focus on you. Help us to learn from you. And we ask this in your name. Amen. In 1875, the crew of a Canadian ship, the Lenny, was mutinied and murdered, or there was a mutiny on board, and many of the officers were murdered. A steward who was spared purely because he was the only guy that could navigate, steered the ship to the French coast, telling them that it was actually Spain, and secretly dropped several bottles over the side of the boat in which he had written the entire story of what had happened on board. The French authorities found one of these bottles, boarded the ship, and arrested the surprised mutineers. The message in the bottle is often the last-ditch attempt of a stricken sailor to communicate that he needs help. Although bottles can take many years to wash up on beaches, and there have been stories in recent years of bottles that have finally made it to land, the person who needs to communicate this message doesn't say, it's pointless because will my bottle ever reach shore? He still writes the message and throws the bottle into the sea. In the passage in front of us this morning, Paul, in a sense, has a message that he needs to bring, and he needs to get it out there. And Paul is not put off by the fact that his message might not be received at all. He nonetheless throws the bottle in the water and allows that message to drift to wherever it might be heard. Now remember, so far in the letter of Ephesians, as Paul has been writing to the church in Ephesus to encourage them, you'll remember that he has spoken about the many, many blessings that we have in Christ, chapter 1. You will also remember that he has spoken about the fact that all the people of the world have been brought together under Christ, and that is chapter 2. And Paul now starts in chapter 3, and he says, for this reason. For the reason that we have many blessings in Christ, and that there is no distinction between male and female, rich and poor, young and old, or between nations. He says, for this reason, I preach the message of Christ. For this reason, I, Paul, he says in verse 1, the prisoner of Christ Jesus. Remember that Paul was writing this letter from a prison cell in Rome. He was in chains as he wrote this letter. And he says he is writing it for the sake of the Gentiles. That is, anybody who was not a Jew. And Paul explains what he has done. For this reason, I have spoken to the Gentiles. Here is my reason. Firstly, Paul says that he has been entrusted with the message. He was entrusted with a special message that came to him in a miraculous way. Look at verse 2. He says, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already briefly written. Paul is shown the mystery of Christ through the Holy Spirit. If we continue reading in verse 4, in reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery, of course, is none other than the mystery that both the Jew and the Gentile are included in God's kingdom. This mystery, Paul says in verse 6, is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. In other words, the mystery of the gospel has been revealed to all people, not just to a select few. Now, of course, the mystery of the gospel is sometimes something tricky that we need to get our heads around. And that is, why would God use a single nation to tell the whole world about him? Why not speak to all the nations at the same time? And that is the mystery that Paul speaks about. But notice that in the middle of this mystery of why God chose to do it in this way, he says that all of us are included. Just look at the words in verse 6. He says there, we are heirs with Israel. We are members of one body. And we are sharers in the promises, all because of Christ. Paul puts it quite simply in another letter that he wrote, a letter that he wrote to the church of Galatia in Galatians 3 and verse 28. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. The implication that Paul's message has is that no matter who we are, no matter what culture we come from, no matter what language we speak, no matter how rich we are or how poor we are, or from what tribe we come from, the message about Jesus Christ is for all people. If you accept what Jesus did for you, then you will be an heir, a member, a sharer, along with all the others who have followed Jesus. We therefore cannot keep this message to ourselves. We cannot think of ourselves as privileged because we have the message, unless we are telling others about this message too. So Paul has this message, a message of unity amongst those who follow the Lord Jesus. There is no difference. So what does Paul do with that message? And this is my second comment this morning. He delivers the message. Notice in verse 7, Paul says, because of this message, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace that was given me through the working of his power. You see how Paul sees himself? Paul doesn't say, I, because of the gospel, have become privileged and unique in this world. He says, no. I, Paul, have become a servant. A servant by the grace of God that worked in power in his life. You see, what's the role of a servant? Many of us employ people to work in our gardens, to work in our homes. What is their role, their function? Well, it's their job, isn't it? They have to clean. They have to cut the grass. They are expected to listen to orders and to fulfill them and to obey them. Paul sees himself in the same light. Because of the grace that was given to me, because of God's power that worked in my life, I now owe my life to God. I, therefore, am a servant of God. I don't do my own will. I don't do my own things. I do the things of God. And in this being a servant to the Lord, there are three things that the Lord God says the servant must do. Verse 8, he says to preach. In verse 9, he says to make plain. And in verse 10, that he should be made known. If you and I have accepted the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you and I too are supposed to be servants of the Lord. Which means that the preach and the make plain and the make known apply not just to Paul, but to us as well. Well, let me just spend a few moments chatting about each of those three elements. When we understand preach today, you probably think about what I'm doing now, standing up behind a lectern or a pulpit and preaching. I want to suggest that preaching is actually way more than just what I'm doing now. That preaching actually means telling somebody, proclaiming the good news. By that same definition, someone who gives the news to us, perhaps on TV, who brings some great news, for example, I saw that this Wednesday, the petrol price is dropping by a certain amount of cents. Now you're all awake. Now you listen. Okay? The good news. I preached good news to you by telling you that the petrol price is going to drop. That's the idea that Paul has here, that the Lord Jesus has when he says preach. It is telling somebody about some good news that is going to take place. So preaching does not only happen here on a Sunday when I'm standing in the pulpit. Preaching can happen, yes, on a formal level like we are doing now, but it can also happen in a much more informal way as we meet our friends and drink a cup of coffee together. We can preach to them, that is, proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to them. And because all people are included in the message of the gospel, that means that all Christians need to talk about the message of the gospel. We are servants of God. We must preach wherever we find ourselves. But notice also that Paul doesn't just say here in this passage that he had to preach. There were two other things that he had to do. And because of his servant nature, he says that he not only needed to share the good news with people, but he needed to share the good news in such a way as to make it plain for them to understand. In other words, that means that when I share the gospel, I should use the words that are understandable to people. I'm sure all of us have heard Christians at some stage or other use big Bible words to explain things. So I might, for example, speak about the redemption of our sin through the penal substitution of Christ. Do you know what I'm meaning? Do you know what I'm talking about? Some of you might. But really, what I'm actually trying to say is that we are forgiven of our sin because Jesus died on the cross for me. Can you see how I can say the same thing in two different ways? But because we are Christians, we like to throw out those big words to impress people. But Paul is saying here, the Lord Jesus says to us that when we proclaim the gospel, we need to do it in such a way that people can understand. So yes, if I'm talking to theological students, I will speak about the redemption that is given to us through the penal substitution of Christ. But if I'm speaking to someone who is not in the church at all, I'm going to put that in much simpler language. so that they might understand what I'm talking about. You see, Paul says, I am a servant of God to preach and to make it plain to them. You ever spoken with a person that works for you and you wonder if you've actually got through to them? And sometimes we try and simplify what we say so that they might understand. It's exactly the same thing when it comes to the gospel. We must explain what we mean when we use those big words. And Paul says, because he is a servant, because he has to proclaim the word of God, because he has to make it simple for people to understand, he also says there's a third element, which actually is closely related to the proclaiming and the preaching, but that is to make the message known. You see, how do we make the message known? It's easy to preach. It's easy for me to stand up here on a Sunday morning and preach to you. But I make the message known not just when I preach to you, but when you see me in town behaving in the way that I have preached to you about. In other words, the making known is more about how we live our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ than what we say. It's more about me obeying the Lord God in how I live my life than about me going off and wagging my finger at everybody and saying, you will turn or you will burn. Do you see what Paul says here? He says, as servants of God, we must preach, we must explain, and we must live. Those are the three things that was wrapped up in Paul's message that he proclaimed not just to an elite group of people, but to all people wherever he found himself. Just briefly, what is the message that Paul is sharing with us? Look at verses 8 through to 10. We are to share, verse 8, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Hasn't he done that for us already? Chapter 1, the blessings that we receive in Christ. In verse 9, we are told that he shares the mystery that all people are included into God's kingdom. In other words, don't let your message stop with only those that you like. Preach to all people. And he says, the message that he is preaching is verse 10, that through the church, the world including the heavenly beings, see the wisdom of God. Speak about Jesus. Speak about Jesus to all people and about the wisdom of God. Paul says, as a servant of the gospel, he has told people that not only are they included in the kingdom of God if they accept Jesus Christ, but that they have more riches than they would ever want or need through Christ. Paul has already shared these riches with them, that we are sinners deserving God's judgment, and we have been forgiven and set free. And so in verse 12, Paul says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. But this still leaves the question as to why Paul is a prisoner in Christ or for Christ for the sake of the Gentiles. Paul has told us that we have a message for all people, that we must preach it, we must explain it, and we must live it. But he also says, thirdly, that there are hardships related to the message. See, Paul had, as we have seen today, received a revelation from God about the fact that the Gentiles are included in God's kingdom because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. He has also told us that he has become a slave to the gospel, preaching it, teaching it, helping us to understand it so that we might live our lives in honor to God. But this does not come, friends, without hardships. Paul is in Rome, in prison, because the Jews in Jerusalem did not like the message Paul was preaching. They said, "We are the God's elite. We are God's special people. How dare you invite other people to share with us?" And they had Paul arrested, and Paul spent months and months in jail before appealing to Caesar and being transferred to Rome. Paul was ultimately in prison because of his witness to the Gentiles about what Jesus had done for him, about the message that he had been entrusted with, the message that he had delivered. And so he tells the Gentiles in Ephesus in verse 13, "I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory." In other words, Paul listened to God, took the mystery of the gospel, explained it to the Gentiles, and because of that, he was imprisoned. As far as the Gentiles were concerned, Paul's suffering was on account of his willingness to tell them the gospel of Jesus despite the consequences. Now, while we are not Paul, and while we did not receive a special revelation from God like Paul did, we can still take the example of Paul with us. For we have a message of Jesus Christ in the Bible. We can read it for ourselves. We can hear the Bible explained so that we can come to understand the gospel. So in a sense, we are a bit like Paul, in that we have heard this message of the gospel. And many of us, in fact, I think all of us here, understand the message of the gospel. But friends, because we have this message, it's like me standing on the boat with a bottle in my hand and refusing to throw it in the water and beg for help. If we have the message of Jesus, then we have a responsibility to deliver that message. We are to preach in the sense of sharing the gospel with others, whether on a formal basis or an informal basis. We are to do this in a way that they can understand, not using complicated language, or can I say religious language. And through our unity in the church, which comes as we live Christian lives among each other, the world and heaven will learn about the wisdom of God. So friends, like Paul, we've received a message from God, and we are to take it to others. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes, bringing this message will have consequences that we might not like. In some countries, as we've been praying for regularly on Sundays, if you share the gospel, you could be persecuted. Some people are imprisoned for the mere fact that they know the gospel. Sometimes, in a working world, you are pushed aside and overlooked for promotion because of your honesty and your refusal to follow the practices, the wrong practices, perhaps, within the business. Sometimes sharing the faith will lead to trouble. And like it or not, all of us sitting here today have heard the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, if not today, at some other stage. Which means that there are two responsibilities that fall on us. First, we have to hear, not just hear this truth, but we have to make this truth our own. And perhaps you've heard this truth time and time again, but you have never made it your own. That's the first responsibility that all of us need to do. We need to make the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ ours. And once we've done that, then we have another responsibility, and that is to share it with others despite what others might think of us. You see, if that navigator on that ship in 1870-odd didn't send out all those bottles, if he refused to communicate his message with the world because, well, his life was at stake and the mutineers would have killed him if he'd been found out, then they would not have been rescued. Him and the other sailors who had been apprehended would not have been rescued. The crew would not have been freed, and the mutineers would not have been brought to justice. And so, friends, as we hear the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us make it our own, and let us be a servant of the gospel like Paul was, preaching, teaching, and living, so that we might reach others with the message that has been entrusted to us. Let's pray. Lord, we do come before you this morning, and we just want to thank you for what you have done for us. Lord, we thank you for this message that you have shown us. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to live for you. Help us to preach the message that you have given us. Help us to live the message that we have. But Lord, help us to do this despite the consequences that might come upon us. Lord, help us to serve you wholly and completely. Lord, help us to go out into the harvest field, into this world, and to gather people for you. In your name, amen.